I was thinking this morning about the faith of the early believers, and I was encouraged by it. I'm encouraged by these talks. I just don't tell you this stuff and then try to come up with another show. It's not about putting on a show. This is about life-giving truth. It's about real help in dire times. And that's what we're in. We are in dire times, dire straits, in fact. And but we're going to, again, I keep saying this because it's a continual theme in my mind. We're going to get through this together. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zenner. Going to talk about the faith of Paul and the early believers. And why not? Because we're in the faith chapter of Hebrews. I have a couple people in the studio today with me. I have Ariana and Jake Hill, and they're just going to say hi real quick. Ariana? Say hi.
Hi.
Nice to have you here. Thanks for coming to the studio. Jake, come in and say hi to the people out there.
Hi.
Oh, thank you. Very good. All right, now go over there and have a seat. Watch the magic happen. So, okay, now, I'm thinking of Paul, and the thing with them is, Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, and I've been making a big deal about how that letter was transported to Rome from Corinth by Phoebe. And we look back at these people and think that they just had it made. And of course they had a good life because it was Paul. I mean, it was Titus. It was Philemon, all these giants. And yet they had the doubts, the same doubts that we had. Do you think in your wildest dreams that Paul realized that 2,000 years after he writes the letter to Rome, it's a letter to believers in Rome. Do you think he has the slightest thought that 2,000 years later, there are going to be millions of copies of that book in existence, that it's going to be bound and it's going to be the best seller down through the ages in the world? This is is so unlikely that this ever happened. It would be like telling you that your grocery list is going to be immortalized. Not that this was a grocery list, but it's the same crazy thought. Because there was a day when there was one copy of this letter. All right, and now today you have one thing that you do. You're like the little drummer boy. This is all I have to offer you, Lord. I can play the drums. Dun, 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 dun. Whenever I heard that song as a kid, I'd get tears in my eyes because how sweet that this brought a smile to the face of our Lord. I know it's all fiction. And Mary nodded. Whenever I hear that, Mary nodded, I get chills because here was a simple act. And how is this going to ever be memorialized? How are our simple acts going to be memorialized? How is this letter Paul writes to Rome going to be memorialized? Well, just go ahead and die and let God take care of it. So Paul died, and there was probably maybe only two or three copies of Romans. People copied it. Sure, they did. As soon as they got it, they loved it. So they copied it. They didn't want to lose the only volume. There's no doubt that there were several copies in existence at Paul's death. But how many? 10? A dozen? And Paul died with a handful of people knowing the truth. And now 2,000 years, many people have come to this truth. And here we are, Clyde and me and Dan Sheridan and James Flanders and Steve Hill and others are still proclaiming this truth. And these folks, if they were resurrected today, would be amazed. They'd be thrilled to think that this word's still going out. That is an act of God. It's a miracle. Just die and let him do his thing. Just die and let him do his thing. You know, but many of us are control freaks. We have to keep our hands on the wheel all the time. But God is trustworthy. And God is able to accomplish that which he promised. And he doesn't need our diligence to do it. We can be sleeping and he can carry it on. Paul fell asleep. Phoebe fell asleep. Timothy fell asleep in the Lord. And God worked miracles. Abraham slept during the cutting of the covenant. Okay, that brings us to Abraham, doesn't it? I told you that Abraham's faith was not perfect, and that's true. Abraham's faith wasn't perfect. Did you know that, kids? Abraham had faith, and he did a lot of things right, but he also did some things wrong. But God only notices the things he did right in the Bible. For instance, I'm going to read this passage from A. Enoch's Concordant Commentary. Now, he's commenting on verse 8. Let me read that for you. Well, let me just reference it. He's commenting on this Abraham being called, obeys, coming out into the place which he was about to obtain. Talked about that yesterday. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, waiting for a city. All right, but this is what's not said about Abraham. Listen to what is not said about Abraham. This is from A. Enoch's commentary. In this account, God takes no notice of the failures of faith, because Abraham failed at times. Abraham indeed obeyed when called out of Ur. He was called out of the land of his father Ur. And in the account, Abraham was called out into a land he did not know. He left the land of his father and went out into the strange land, the alien land. What a brave man. You think this guy's a hero. What's not mentioned is that this was only a partial obedience, and it was a little late, a little tardy, because he did not leave his father's house right away, but stayed in Haran until his father's death. So, leave the land of your father. Sounds like he's pulling himself away from his parents. He's making this gigantic move into the desert. But instead, no, he actually waits. He tarried in Haran until his father's death. A. Enoch again. Neither is there any hint here of his sojourn in Egypt. You can find that in Genesis 12:10. He doesn't go directly to the land. He takes some detours. And he waits. He doesn't go right away. Or of his effort to fulfill God's promise by taking Hagar. Remember, God promised him a son, and he waited and waited and waited, and then his faith wavered, and he took Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, to produce not the son of promise, but the son of bondage, namely Ishmael. And God doesn't mention that here. Isn't that gracious of God? Or, at the very height of faith, requiring a covenant to confirm Jehovah's promise. Genesis 15, God makes a promise to Abraham. God says, well, how about you sign here on the dotted line? Abraham said that. Why don't you sign here on the dotted line and I'll take this to the bank to be notarized? That's what Abraham did. Yeah, God, a handshake is okay, but I'd be happier if you signed this piece of paper. Such lapses as these, A. Enoch again, such lapses as these are not in line with this catalog of the faithful. But in Abraham's case especially, it helps us to see that even he failed in his highest excellence. Even Abraham, who's being lauded here for these pinnacles, mountaintops of faith, if you kind of look between the lines and look behind the curtain, it wasn't perfect. And that, to me, is encouraging, because none of our faith is perfect. Right, kids? You guys, your faith isn't perfect, is it?
Yeah. What? Because sometimes
you're
bad.
Sometimes you're bad? Oh, boy. Yeah.
Not always
bad. That's right. You're good sometimes. But God remembers the good stuff. And he forgets the bad stuff. So that's good. Now, there's another case of, and I mentioned this earlier in Mark 9, of the man that Jesus healed. And let's start with the context here. He calls Israel an unbelieving generation. Mark 9:19, and this is the indictment. This is why God loves faith so much, because the opposite of faith is non-faith, in other words, unbelief. Till when shall I be with you, Jesus says. Till when shall I bear with you? This is Mark 9, and now I'm in verse 20. Bring him to me. This is the man who needed healed. And they bring him to him, and perceiving him, the spirit straightway violently convulses him. Man is possessed by an evil spirit. An evil spirit has him. He's possessed, and it makes him do weird things. It convulses him, and he falls on the ground. And he's wallowing and frothing at the mouth, like a dog with rabies. And he inquires of his father, how much time, Jesus asks this boy's dad, how much time is it since this has come to him? This is not the man, but the man's son. Jesus is about to heal him. And he's asking his dad, how long has your son been this way? And the man said, from a little boy. And often it casts him into the fire also, and into waters, that it should be destroying him. But the man says that if you are in any way able, help us. He said this to Jesus. If you're able to do it, please help us. Have compassion on us. Now, Jesus said, why do you say if? Because the man said, if you're able, please do something. Jesus said, why did you say if? You're able to believe. All is possible to him who is believing. Jesus said that to the man. You can believe, right? Everything's possible to him who believes. So straight away, crying, the father of the little boy said with tears, listen to this, I am believing. Help my unbelief. So the man admits that he believes, but he also admits that he has an element, little bitty piece of unbelief inside of him. He doubts a little bit. His belief isn't perfect. But you know what? That's good enough for Jesus. The passage goes on in verse 25. Now Jesus, perceiving that the throng is racing on together, rebukes the unclean spirit, saying to it, dumb and deaf mute spirit, I am enjoining you to come out of him, and by no means may you be entering into him any longer. And crying and convulsing him much, it came out. And he became as if dead, so that the majority are saying that he died. Now Jesus, holding his hand, rouses him, and he rose. And so Jesus operated on the faith of a man that was imperfect. And even the imperfect faith was given him by God. And this is an encouragement to all of us. You know, I remember a story. I'm going to tell you kids this. I'm going to tell my listeners out there on the internet too. I remember this elderly woman that I knew. And she was a strong Christian all her life. She believed in God. She believed in Jesus. And she didn't fear death. She knew that Jesus would raise her from the dead. But at the end of her life, when she actually was dying, she became afraid. And she had doubts. And she wondered, is Jesus really going to raise me from the dead? Her daughter told me this. Her daughter said, you know, my mom, whose faith was so strong throughout her life, right at the end of her life, she wondered a little bit. And her faith kind of wavered. And that's a human thing. Because we're considering the greatest miracle ever, the resurrection of the dead. And God is able to do this. And do you believe he can do it? Yes, I do. But there's always some part of us that has doubts. But Jesus understands that. And he doesn't require us to be perfect. And we see an example of it with Abraham by not mentioning the failures of Abraham. In Hebrews 11, only the highlights. This is the highlight reel, not the failures. Likewise, Jesus can heal the son of a man who admits, yes, I believe, but heal my unbelief. Take what I lack and shore it up, because only you can do it. I'm nothing of myself. That's the cry of both Hebrews and Greeks, both members of the body of Christ and members of the circumcision gospel. Lord, I believe, but heal my unbelief.